He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day. His ear is never closed to your cares and woes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book. It is written, behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to render to each man according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have a right to enter in through the gates into the city. It is written, yea, I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
God is just a prayer away.
And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street thereof. And on this side of the river and on that was a tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants shall serve him. And there shall be night no more, and they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Shall we gather at the river, where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? On the bosom of that river, where the Savior King we own, we shall meet and sorrow never, neath the glory of the throne. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and crown. Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message entitled The Last Word from the Last Book of the Word of God. The 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation is the last chapter of the Bible, and it contains the last word about several important doctrines of the Word of God. When John wrote down the words of this chapter, that will be all God will have to say to the human race about the most important issues that can come to the minds of the sons of men. These are things that have been said before, and the next time God speaks to the human race will be on that day when the trumpet sounds and all the dead are raised. The first word in this chapter of last words is the last word about heaven. And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. The water of life is mentioned by Jesus to the woman at the well in John 4. Everyone that drinketh of this water will thirst again, he said. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. There is no well in this world that can completely satisfy the thirst, whether it be the well of money or the well of great achievement. Jeremiah had it right in Jeremiah, the second chapter, the 13th verse, when he said, of some of the people of God that had turned away from him, he said, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewed themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Then in John 7, the Lord said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. And now here in the last chapter of Revelation, we find the source, the true source, of the water of life, as John says, and he that is athirst, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Drink from the river, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. The words of the gospel song are not meaningless to the Christian as he thinks of eternity. The words we used just a few moments ago, shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever, flowing by the throne of God. Concerning heaven, Paul said in Colossians 3, set your affections on things that are above and not on the things that are on the earth. This is good advice considering the fact that John says his servants shall serve him. Heaven is going to be a busy place for us. It won't be like that song says, I'll go where the loud hosannas are ringing, but I will not take part in the singing. Then weep not for me, friends, if death do us sever, for I'm going to do nothing forever and ever. No, that's not the way it's going to be. We shall serve him. Next, the last word of warning against idolatry. Listen to John as he says, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel that showed me these things. And he saith unto me, see thou do it not. I am a fellow servant with thee and with the prophets, and with them that keep the words of this book. Worship God. John is reprimanded for worshiping an angel. The odd thing about this worship of an angel is the fact that this is the second time he did it. In Revelation 19, John said, I fell down to worship him. And he saith unto me, see thou do it not. I am a fellow servant with thee and with thy brethren. How could John make the same mistake twice and be reprimanded both times for worshiping an angel? Perhaps it's by the grace of God that the warning could be given to John twice as a reminder to us not to practice idolatry by worship of men or angels. In Acts 10, when Peter went into the house of Cornelius for the conversion of the first Gentile, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. Since Peter was a man and not God. He did not want anyone to kneel before him. In the scripture, good men and angels refused the worship of men. The lesson is clear. There is no man on this earth who is worthy for you to kneel before him, either in the flesh or in the likeness of a statue. Next, we consider in this chapter the last word God has to say on the Holy Bible. One thing he said was, "Seal not up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." He said, don't seal up the words of the book. That is one of the greatest problems in the religious world today. The Bible is a sealed book. The pages are glued and stuck together and cannot be read. Just look at the Bible in your own home. Is it not sealed? It must be, because very few ever read it. I know most church members believe the Bible, but they don't seem to be able to get it opened. Week after week passes by, and the only book in the world authored by Almighty God is stuck shut. The devil has convinced most church members that no one can understand the Bible except the preacher. And many preachers, of course, take a verse for a text, talk for a half an hour on it. The next Sunday, he uses another verse, talks for a half an hour on it. And by listening to one verse per week for 100 years, the listener doesn't know any more about the Bible than when they started. Much of the Word of God has been removed from the Bible. It isn't that somebody has reprinted the Bible and left out part of it. It's just a matter of not preaching any part of the Scripture that folk don't want to hear. If people don't want to hear what the Bible says about hell, don't preach it, preacher. If a message on repentance makes people feel depressed, don't preach it. The devil has also had great success in adding to God's Word. One group of Christians may formulate a doctrine according to their opinion and then not fellowship others who do not agree with their opinion. They think their opinion is the Word of God, when in fact they have added to the Word of God. The world will not be judged by your opinion. Jesus has declared, "The word that I spake unto them, the same shall judge them at the last day." And now, ladies and gentlemen, the last word of the New Testament on the salvation of mankind is prefaced by the declaration of Jesus when he said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they have the right to come to the tree of life, and may enter in by the gates into the city." His name is first and last, Alpha and Omega, in the New Testament. His name is mentioned in the first verse of Matthew when it is written, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ." His name is the last name in the New Testament. The last verse in the book of Revelation says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with the saints." He's the first and the last. Again, we note he's the first and the last in the first chapter of Revelation. Jesus tells why he's the first and the last when he says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades." And then here in the last chapter of Revelation, Jesus again says, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And he tells us how we also can be raised up from the dead, alive forevermore, when he says, "Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have a right to come to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city." It is most suggestive when we read in Titus 3, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love toward men appeared, not by works which we did ourselves, but by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through our Lord Jesus Christ. These references should help us consider the baptism of Saul of Tarsus. Saul had seen the Lord. He believed. He was repentant for 3 days, and at that point was told to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Blessed are they that have washed their robes and made them white, that they may have a right to come to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. Then John speaks of a certain group that will not be allowed into the gates of the city when he says, "Without are the dogs, and the sorcerers, and the fornicators, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and every one that loveth and maketh a lie." Of those 6 things that can keep people from entering through the gates into the city, all of them are familiar to us except the statement, "Without are the dogs." Who are these dogs that are shut out of the kingdom? Paul referred to dangerous dogs in Philippians 3. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and the glory of Jesus Christ. A pack of these vicious, dangerous dogs had come to the city of Antioch in Acts 15 with the message, "Except you be circumcised after the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." According to them, salvation came through Jesus Christ and by keeping the law of Moses. Jesus plus circumcision saves. At the conference at Jerusalem in Acts 15, it was decided by the rest of the apostles and Paul himself and the Holy Spirit with the whole church that salvation comes by Jesus and Jesus alone. It is not Jesus plus some other religion that can save. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. And neither is it some other religion in place of Jesus. It is Jesus who saves, and Jesus alone. It is Christ and Christ alone who is able to save men from the wrath to come. And in view of the seriousness of the danger from these dangerous dogs, a note should be included in every church bulletin along with the other announcements. Beware of the dogs. Now the last invitation, the last word in this chapter about the last invitation. Concerning the last word, the scripture says about the gospel invitation, it was fourfold invitation. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And he that heareth, let him say, "Come." And he that is athirst, let him come. He that will, let him take the water of life freely. First, the Spirit says, the invitation of the Holy Spirit in the words of the Great Commission of Christ. According to Mark, the Holy Spirit said, when Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Then in Luke, the Holy Spirit-inspired word tells us, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name beginning from Jerusalem. Secondly, the bride of Christ, which is the church, offers the invitation. Actually, the carrying out of the Great Commission is the job of the church, not building buildings necessarily, but carrying out the Great Commission. Everything else is secondary. Thirdly, the person who has heard the gospel offers the invitation. Carrying out the Great Commission is a personal matter for every individual Christian, whether in contributions to various ministries or in personal contact. Fourthly, let him that is athirst come. He that will, let him take the water of life freely. The important thing about acceptance of the invitation is the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Perhaps as a Christian you may have wondered if your name is written in that book. Be assured it is if you obeyed the terms of pardon. I know mine is. Yes, my name is in the Bible. Then I know the Bible's true. It was written there by Jesus, whosoever that means you. And he knew it when he wrote it, by that bright and crystal sea, that my name was whosoever. That means you, and that means me. And now the last word, of all the last words in the chapter, is the last word regarding the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second coming of Jesus is mentioned 3 times in this one chapter. The first one is, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book." The second is, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to his work." The third is, "Surely, I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Evidently, the Lord does not want us to forget the fact. He is coming quickly. It is true Jesus is coming soon, because whenever he comes, it will be sooner than you thought it would be. It will be too soon, in fact, for those who plan to be ready and just never got around to it. It will definitely be quickly, much too quickly, for the unprepared. Actually, the whole process of the second coming indicates the word quickly. Listen, Matthew 24 says, "For as the lightning cometh from the east and is seen even unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Therefore be ye also ready, for in an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "When they are saying, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape." 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Ladies and gentlemen, Peter makes the second coming of Jesus look like we are living and sitting on a powder keg that could blow any minute. And think of what Paul says concerning the resurrection of the righteous in 1 Corinthians 15. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Behold, I come quickly," quickly. And remember, he said it 3 times. The story of Jesus is a story of one who lived before the world was created, born of the Virgin, lived as a carpenter, died on the cross, ascended to heaven, and after 10 days established the church. However, there's something missing in that story, something that leaves the plot of his life hanging in the rarefied air of his ascension. That missing part is the second coming. And until the promise of the angels come to pass, until Jesus appears with the clouds in his triumphant return, the story of his life is incomplete. Regarding the second coming, Paul tells us he does not want us to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep. He's speaking about the Christians. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who remain alive unto his coming shall together with them be caught up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The catching up of all the saints will be a tremendous production from heaven. He had said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." he was lifted up on the cross. Then he was lifted up from the grave. Then he was lifted up into heaven. And when he returns, the magnetic force of his arrival will lift up all the saints, living and dead, from the earth unto him. Concerning both the prepared and unprepared, John tells us in the first chapter of Revelation, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, that every eye shall see him, yea, and they that pierced him." That great day will be a glorious day for the prepared, and a day of horror for the unprepared. The Christian can say with John, "Even so come, Lord Jesus," which is the same thought as found in Paul's words in 1 Corinthians when the apostle said, "Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus." Oh, there is much to make us sad in this dark world of ours. The serpent's trail is often seen amongst the fairest flowers, but we should never yield to grief and falling helpless lie. We'll fling our banner to the breeze and Maranatha cry. What though the host of hell be strong and bold in what they say? The Lord of hosts is on our side. We're sure to win the day. The victor of the cross and tomb is seated now on high. And we'll fling our banner to the breeze and Maranatha cry. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the last words in the last chapter of the last book of the last of the revelation of God to humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The broadcast address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box, 511 Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box, 511 Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Praise the Lord and pass the admonition, and don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.